15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Nope, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I am Steve Smith Sr., and on my new podcast, Cut to It, we're talking to your favorite athletes.
The New Orleans Saints, Malcolm Jenkins.
How long did it take for you to take that first step to talk to a therapist?
My body felt like it was in fight or flight, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
iHeartRadio's number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr., on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Hey, it's your girl, Love Sweetie, and this is Love Sweetie. Talk to Bra here on Rebel Bed Podcast. Happy Monday. I love bringing you this podcast on Monday because who doesn't need a pick-me-up, especially a love sex pick-me-up? On a day like Monday, everybody has the Monday blues, but not today, people. Not today, because we're talking love, we're talking goddesses, we're talking chemistry, we're talking everything with Christine Gutierrez, who is a therapist and love addiction expert. So she is the go-to person if you are addicted to that good stuff, that good. Christine, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here and to talk about all things love.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I feel like you being a love addiction expert, that's so interesting to me. Can you tell us a little bit about like how you even got into being a love addiction expert? And what does that even mean?
Yeah, so my clinical background is I got my master's in mental health counseling with a focus on prevention and community. And I worked as a family therapist, and I've worked for the past 10 years now in this kind of field of personal development and healing and coaching therapy. And what really started to develop was my passion for helping women that have gone through trauma, because I had also gone through trauma and abuse. And I noticed that within myself, that deep why of why I want to serve came from a very personal place for me, because I had experienced verbal abuse, physical abuse, and mental abuse growing up, and those patterns replicated into my romantic life. And I saw the clear patterns once I was able to be out of that kind of cycle of denial. And I was addicted to toxic love. And I was addicted to it because it reminded me of the fucked up love that I had growing up. And so in therapy, we call that repetition compulsion, where we recreate that pattern of that original wound in an attempt to heal it. And obviously that doesn't go over well. And so when I started to realize that pattern within myself, I started to heal it, and I got help for it, and I did all the things that I needed to do to come back home to myself. And then it became very clear to me that, I do believe that the divine gives us these obstacles in our life so that we can heal them and then teach and help others through our story. And so it was from that very kind of personal life journey that I knew that I had to help women get out of it too, because there were so many women that were struggling, addicted, just as you would be addicted to a drug or a drink, looking for love outside of themselves to fill that kind of inner void, that inexplainable kind of deep loneliness. And you keep going back to that person or people that don't serve you. Even if they're not toxic or abusive, the dynamic of you seeking them compulsively is toxic and abusive to yourself. And so that's how the love addiction started. And I've worked with countless women now throughout the years on healing and walking away from toxic relationships and coming back home to themselves.
I can so relate to that, because I feel that most of my, at least my 20s and my early 30s, it took me a really long time to realize that I was like addicted to really toxic, and my addiction was love that was inconsistent and love that wasn't reciprocated. So I was chasing all these men who like were hot and cold, inconsistent, cared about me but not enough, loved me but not as much as I loved them. And you're right, it stemmed all from my childhood. My father abandoned his family when we were 12 years old. I didn't talk to him for 10 years.
He was someone who was hot and cold. He was someone who was inconsistent even when he was present. He would cheat on my mom, leave for 3 days, come back. You know, it was that dynamic, that off and on, off and on. And I had those relationships pretty much most of my life until I realized, whoa, you are so repeating history. You are looking for love in all the wrong places because that's all you know. That's all the love that you know. That's the love that you grew up with. So I feel like a lot of women, a lot of you women that I know, a lot of Latinas especially, they have gone through that or they're still going through it. And sometimes you don't know how to get out, you know. But I feel like to come home to yourself, you definitely need therapy. I had therapy. I am an advocate for therapy, especially if it's like abusive and things. And sometimes people don't think it's funny because, the whole hashtag Me Too mm-hmm. has been trending. And I actually did a video a couple of days ago and I had a friend do another video, someone that I know, an acquaintance, do another video. And in my video and also in her video, which we shared on my website, lovesohidi.com, we both said the same thing. Like, I didn't know that it was sexual harassment. I didn't know that it was a sexual assault. It's like, it was kind of like the norm. And her situation was a former boss laid her off and then told her if she wanted her job back, she had to perform like oral sex on like another coworker. And so in her mind, and in her mind, it was like that. She didn't know that was, she could actually file and go to the police because that's harassment. I don't think that a lot of Latinas grow up thinking that way. Like, we're so used to the catcalling and that type of behavior. And especially in urban communities, that we don't see it as like this is not good, like this is not right. This is actually abuse, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, when the norm is set at such a low standard, our nervous system, our psyche, our spirits become accustomed to bad behavior. And so when you don't know better, and your mind doesn't have a reference to see what it feels like in your body to feel safe, to feel validated, to feel love, to feel consistency, like you shared, right? Growing up, not having that consistency and not, you know, that inner child, that little girl that is, you know, waiting for that safety and that comfort and that person to say, I'm here, right? And then what happens is, like you shared with the Me Too and harassment, is that when we don't know these things, we don't know how to say yes and no. We don't know boundaries. We don't know what is right. And even if there's that gut feeling inside of ourselves, because there always is, and that's a lot of the work that I teach, is this kind of spiritual, merging spirituality and ancient wisdom with modern therapy and coaching, which is that there's always a soul voice within that says, this doesn't feel good. This isn't right. But when you have enough experiences to dumb it down, to numb that inner voice, we become used to splitting and feeling like something's not right, but still having to take it. And so then that pattern is something that we as women, as once we are outside of that, you know, place where when we were younger, we weren't able to do something different. We were literally powerless, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the experiences that have happened make us powerless. And, you know, we were actual victims of, you know, horrible things, and even the abandonment that we've gone through with parents or with caretakers, all of those things are, you know, you are actually a victim. And then having to then, as a woman, say, how can I heal and nurture the wounds that life gave me? And that we're not justified, that we're not deserved, that I did not deserve. How can I learn to retrain my nervous system and give myself new reference points in my mind that says, this is what healthy love looks like. This is how to recreate that blueprint, because we have a love blueprint within us. And consciousness and talking about this and sharing in real deal conversations, the stuff you're doing here, is so important. And, you know, culturally, as you mentioned, in the Latina community and women of color in particular, we have these lineages of broken promises from men in our lives and broken promises from the women that have taken abuse. And so we're also breaking down ancestral wounds and ancestral karmic patterns of abuse, of toxicity, and learning to kind of like, I consider us kind of like the slayers of, you know, we come with our goddess sword and we have to learn to cut those cords of, this is no longer serves me. I will not allow this treatment. What does my soul say feels healthy? Maybe I wasn't taught this in my life, but there's something inside of me, this wise inner still voice that says, this doesn't feel good. I deserve more. And the more we learn to come to that voice, it saves us. And, you know, that's the work that I do, is holding space for women's trauma, for their shame, for their pain, and really going there. And giving women permission to feel bad, to feel sad, to mourn the loss of their childhood, to mourn the experiences that they weren't given, to be seen, to be held. And from that holding of that woman, then from that helping her to reclaim her power again.
It's so scary to go there, though. I know that a lot of women, they see their pattern, like they like bad boys. They're like, no, but I just like the excitement. It's, you know, it's scary to delve a little bit deeper. And that's why I think a lot of Latinas and women of color, they tend to just shut down and avoid therapy. And, you know, culturally, therapy is not seen as something, or we don't do that. You know, you hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But it's so important. And fear is a bitch. Fear can make you do things. I know that a lot of women that I know that are or have been in toxic relationships, they fear being alone. They fear rejection. They fear even speaking up because they fear being left. So there's just so much that we can dig in here. I'm so excited to have you. I know that you have a 4-week self-study, core study on how to date like a goddess. And I definitely want to delve into that, because once you do the work, right, you can date like a goddess. You can go out and date like a badass, like the badass woman that you are, to find a partner, male or female or whatever, that you deserve. And the class starts November 13th, and it's self-study, so they can go at their pace, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I do two things. I do many things within this whole range of helping women find their worth. But if people are at the first phase of their healing and they wanted to, like, actually dive into the healing love addiction, I have a program for that as well. That I can give, you the link for. And then once people feel ready, right? Then the next phase would be how to date like a goddess. So there's kind of like this two part work. And in the how to date like a goddess, I'm doing this in collaboration with my soul sister, Tatiana Della Chiani. And we decided to do this because a lot of our work, both of our work individually and also together when we collaborate, is about diving deep into the wound, healing it, and then what, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so once women are feeling empowered, like you said, and they feel ready to date, then there's a whole bunch of old issues that come up, like, you know, what do I do on that date? How do I feel confident and not give up my worth when someone doesn't text me back? Or what does that feel like when I go on a date and choose the person instead of sitting there waiting for the guy to choose you, right? Oh my God, what's he thinking? What is he, you know, is he going to text me? Is he not? And basically this
Can you repeat that? I love the choosing thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that that's something that a lot of women don't get, especially with texting and technology and online dating. And yes, you want to be empowered and be able to make decisions. And if you want a guy, hey, go out and ask him out. But say the choosing thing, because I think it's so important.
Yeah. So one of the big keys and mindset tools that we give people is perspective is everything and mindset is everything. And when we are dating like a goddess, which is basically a woman who's empowered, we want to walk into situations saying, again, this is what feels good for my body. And it's like I'm going on an interview, and if I'm going on an interview, yes, there's a person that's seeking certain things, but I'm also seeking certain things. So I'm going there with my inner knowing that there's certain things that I want in that job. There's certain a certain vibe. I want to be treated a certain way. There's certain expectations, salary, et cetera. So there's a mutual coming together. If I'm going in, taking care of my side of the street, which is, does this suit my needs? And in the same way with dating, you want to go on that date saying, does this feel good for me? I'm choosing you. Does this person make me feel good? Do I feel that he has the values that I want? So again, it's really holding that sense of I, my desires, what I feel, what I know, what I need. And when you do that, you're not walking in thinking, will he accept me? Will he want me? What is he thinking? It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is how you feel, what you
what you experience in your body and what you need. And then from that place, you have two people that come together because we're only always responsible for ourselves. And so oftentimes women give up their power, their energy, their swag, right? When they go in feeling and thinking the thoughts of what that person would be thinking. So we X that out, we ditch that mindset, and we say the goddess mindset is I choose. I show up like a goddess and I say, this is what it feels like for me and this is what I'm looking for. And then dating can become more fun because it can become like a fun adventure where you're going out just exploring. Does this feel good for your vibration? If it's a yes, awesome. And if no, great. Because that will let me be closer to the person that is for me.
I think what happens also is, because when I was single, I dated with swag. I was like, I'm the shit. I had a lot of confidence. I was like, I'm attractive. I got it all going on. And then once I fell for the guy and started, you know, then that's when, you know, you get a little softer and that's fine. I think it's fine to be soft and vulnerable, but then I gave up a little bit of my swag. I kind of stopped remembering, okay, no, yeah, remember, like, this is your choice and you're choosing to be with this person and you're a badass and you have to speak up. So I think a lot of women start off when they're dating kind of really confident or like very nonchalant, and then they fall for the person. And then there's like, it's muddled.
Yeah, there's so many different types of dating patterns. Like some women are completely shut down and scared to even go put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
They got out of a divorce or they have a kid and they're a single mom, or they're just scared because it's so new with technology and all these things. You know, there's so many different barriers, right? But regardless of what dating barrier you have, it ultimately comes down to how you can feel confident with you. And really, how to date like a goddess is about breaking down the nitty-gritty. And we have a private Facebook group, so we get to, like, actually interact with people. Even though it's self-study, we're actually present there, and we can help you decode your text messages. And, you know, people can
That's
be really
great.
Confusing. Or, like, what do you text? Do you put a smiley face? Do you put the one with the winky? Is the winky too much?
The emojis. So I'm like, am I too excited?
Exactly. Does this emoji look give off too meaty? Is this emoji cuter? You know, so like all of these silly things that really matter, because in this new age of dating and technology, it does matter. And we want to help you feel empowered, not from the place of how I can make guys fall for me because, you know, no, but like a really internal process of I love myself and I'm honoring my truth and I'm honoring my heart and I'm connected to my soul and I'm embodied in my femininity and my divinity, and from that strength I'm letting my soul choose and I can have more confidence and ease. And then from that, the really practical things like how do I text and what mm-hmm. does this mean and how do I not lose myself, or you know what, like real life happens, and like you said, maybe there'll be a moment where you're like, wow, this thing happened and it's triggering this old feeling in me. And, you know, you get to out that in the group and other women will be there like, oh my God, me too. And it really helps you come back to center. And for me, sisterhood, I have, you know, what I call the Diosa tribe. Diosa is the Spanish word for goddess. And for me, sisterhood is soul medicine. And so when you have this supportive tribe of women that are rallying you on, it really helps. So while it's a self-study journey, you definitely will not be alone, and you have us rallying you on and other women that are on the same path.
I love sisterhood. I love anything having to do with womanhood. And I think that the Facebook group edition, you get the support of women. You get to meet women virtually. I had an event for my website launch last week, and there was about 45 women there, and like five of them I knew, because the 40 women that were there were women that just follow me on social media, or we've just had this relationship on social media. And it's like we've known each other forever, but we've never met in real life. So I think that's awesome. I think that's an amazing addition. And I'm actually going to segue to a question from somebody, a sister, Diosa, who they emailed me an Ask the Lady question, and I would love your take on it, because it's about dating. It's about texting. It's about a specific situation with this man that she met, and I'm just going to read the question. So, Haiti, I met a guy at a party a couple of weeks ago, and we were enthralled in conversation. We talked all night. But at the end of the night, he didn't ask for my number. He didn't ask me on a date, nothing. The next day, he added me as a friend on Facebook. What the hell is going on? Is he into me or not? Should I comment on anything that he's saying? Should I reply? What should I do? to me, that's wonderful. Like, that's so common. happened to me so many times.
Yeah, it happened.
This guy is all into me, and then it's like nothing. Like, we spend the whole night together flirting. Maybe we made out, and it's like nothing all the time. I would love to hear your take, because I replied to her already, but I would love to hear your take.
So for me, when I hear that immediately, it's great that they were enthralled in conversation. That's a wonderful moment to experience with someone. And sometimes people don't have the courage. They feel shy. They feel uncomfortable. There's many different reasons which don't matter as much as how you feel like responding that feels in alignment with your confidence. So, for example, in that situation, you know, maybe he was scared. Maybe he was not feeling courageous. There's many different reasons, right? So we won't know that. You only know what you know. And what you know is that he didn't ask you in the moment, but he friended you on Facebook and didn't say anything, right?
Right.
You know, I go very based on, my advice giving goes very based on intuition and based on the moment. If you feel that this person intuitively had a good spirit, you felt like maybe he was really shy and uncomfortable, maybe he regretted not, you know, messaging you and added you on Facebook, I would probably give it a day or two, see if he would reach out. That's what I would do. I would be patient, see if he would reach out. After that, if he didn't reach out, I would check in with myself and see what I feel. You know, at that point, either someone's very nervous or they're not sure on how to engage you, and that's obviously going to be, you know, a conflict in communication, right? But if you feel adventurous and you feel aligned in your spirit to say, hey, you know, how, you know, it was great chatting the other day. I noticed you Facebook friend me and didn't say anything, or I was wondering, you know, something along the lines of, I can't think of it on the spot right now, but something along the lines of, you know, we had a great conversation. I noticed that you Facebook friend me. Did you get shy? Sometimes honesty is actually best, because what I found is, especially if you are actually seeking deep partnership, you kind of cut to the chase faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it really allows men to respect you. Men are usually thrown off because usually women do not do that. They usually play a lot of games, and authenticity and vulnerability is actually very attractive. And you can be honest. Like, if you genuinely felt a connection and you are thrown off, that might not be someone that you're that into, because maybe they are not the kind of person that is ready to date, right?
Right.
Maybe they're too, you know, you might realize that by that action, you're not that into them. But if you want to just test it, because sometimes dating is about testing things out and seeing how you deal with conflict, then throw it out there and be honest and set your boundary, because you need to be clear on what you like and don't like, but it doesn't hurt to practice communication. So this is a very non-traditional way of doing things, but I love it, and I've gotten so many good responses, because you'll be surprised. People are like, you know, to be honest, I was scared. And I got nervous and I kind of freaked out, and I friended you and I didn't know what to say. Or sometimes they'll say, you know, I have a partner and I didn't want to give the wrong impression. So I would love to be friends with you. But
yeah, that's what happened to me.
That's what happened to me.
A girlfriend. Yeah. But we had like awesome chemistry, our perspectives are different, so I always go with my intuition, my gut as well, but a lot of my experience. So the advice I gave her was, if she really felt the connection, if she really felt that this person was into her, this guy was into her, he friended her, ask, but like, don't push and press. And, like, don't do what most women do. It's like, if you really want to know what happened and you really want to confront him, don't talk to your friends for 3 days and 5 days and analyze everything. And definitely, I told her, not to just message him and like not get to the point, because I think a lot of women, they'll leave hints, and it's like the passive aggressive, like, oh, so I had a really good time, and hoping he says, yeah, me too. So what are you doing today? So if you're gonna communicate, I told her, and you're gonna go there because you're that curious, either you decide you're gonna leave it alone, or you decide you're gonna go and talk to him and keep messaging him or responding to his messaging, then be direct and just say, hey, so we had a good connection, but we didn't exchange information. Would you like to do that? Do a little SB stalking, make sure there's not, like, another woman in the picture.
Absolutely. Just just check out his profile. And then mm-hmm. I would just, you know, my only thing with that would be to just take a step back, and before asking for the number, I would kind of let him take the lead in that, but
yes.
just kind of check in and say, you know, I was wondering what, you know, if something happened, or just curious, because then you get the answer that you want. And again, I would wait a couple of days just to see if he, you know, like a day or two, just to see, again, observation is key. This is not about playing games. This is about honoring your space and knowing to give yourself what you actually want. So many girls will come to me. So many women will say, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm like, is that what, how you want to feel?
Do what feels good.
Is that
good?
How you want to
yeah.
feel chasing? Exactly. Does chasing feel good? No, it doesn't.
No,
but does being empowered and asking a question feel good? Yeah, that might feel good for you. So doing what feels good is key. And I love that, you know, it's one last thing I want to say to that, or any situation that you're in, is you're in charge, and you want to get yourself into a state where you feel confident and embodied before you do anything. If you feel confused and frantic and needy, then pause
mm-hmm.
and wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a moment. Take a breath. And I want to add, what you feel also changes. Because there's times where, with me, with certain men, I felt certain ways and certain things, and I would take a different approach. It's not a black and white blueprint to, like, every
right.
dude or every person you meet. That's why I always call myself an easy prude. Like, sometimes I was easy and I was like, sure, I'll have sex with you tonight. And other times I was like, no, I'm going to make him wait 3 months. You know, so it just depends on what I wanted. It depended on the guy. It depended on how I felt. It depended on, like, what my vagina wanted, you know. So it's like,
that's right.
You got to know what you feel. Yes, he speaks volumes
yeah.
to me, at least. let them know about your Facebook Live series.
November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's a free 3-part Facebook Live series, which is on my Facebook page, Christine Gutierrez. And I'll be joined by my co-facilitator, the creator of the course, How to Be Like a Goddess, Tatiana. And it's all about dating with goddess swag. We break down the do's and don'ts of dating. We give you some mindset tips. And one of the cool things also is that it kind of gives you a sneak peek, and you get an opportunity to ask us questions live for free. And it gives you a taste of the course, which is on November 13th, which is self-study.
Listeners, jump on this. Jump on this. It is the self-study, How to Date Like a Goddess. So it's November 13th. But she has a Facebook Live 3-part series, November 2nd, November 3rd, November 4th. That is free on
yeah.
Facebook Live, which is Christine Gutierrez. I'll have it on description, and I'll have it on lovesuhiti.com so everybody knows about it. So where can people follow you on social media?
So on Instagram, I'm Cosmic Christine, and on Twitter, I'm Cosmic Christine, and on Facebook, I'm my name, Christine Gutierrez.
I'm so excited for this. If I was single, I would totally go. Maybe I should go and relearn. You never know. You never know what happens in life. Maybe I just need to go back a little bit and see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We should always, always, always be dating our beloved. And
yes, I love that.
It's a good practice. And really, you know, the secret is that we're going to be teaching you to love the beloved, which is you. And when you love the beloved, which is you, all the answers come.
Oh my God, we're going to end with that, because that was just like punto, you know? That's it. Thank you so much for listening. Love Sue Haiti. Talk to right here on Rebel with a Color podcast. Christine, thank you so much. This was amazing. Go follow her, Cosmic Christine, and Christine Gutierrez, which is her Facebook page, Facebook Live. Again, it's November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That is a 3-part Facebook Live series. And then How to Date Like a Goddess is November 13th, the 4 weeks of study. Yes. Okay, so this is all me. Love to be here. I'm Talk to Haiti. We can talk to Haiti. That's not the name. I love to Haiti. Talk to right here on Dribble Bitch Podcast. Christine has me all night feeling, so I cannot talk anymore. Thank you so much for joining me, Christine. And listeners, thank you for being so amazing. Follow her, follow me, subscribe, and stay tuned for next Monday's show.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope. It's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Nope, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Good afternoon. Would you like to try a free sample of our double fudge brownie?
Oh, sure.
Mmm, that's very good. I'll just take one more, just to be sure. Yep, still very good.
Some things never change. Like never being able to take just one free sample. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Mmm, is that macadamia nut I taste? Let me take one more.
Sir,
mmm, yeah, I thought so.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.